This is chapel service for October the 16th, 1962. Professor Dan McGee is leading our worship.
God is to be greatly feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him.
Professor McGee is engaged in PhD studies at Duke Divinity School, the graduate department of the same, and is writing a thesis entitled "The Relation Between the Theory of History and Political Philosophy and the Thought of Herbert Butterfield." This work is being done under Professor Waldo Beach. Professor McGee has finished all his requirements for the PhD degree except the thesis, having completed the residence work. He is currently teaching here at Southeastern in the LT area in the ethics field during the absence of Professor Bland, who is on sabbatical leave at Yale University. We're glad Dan McGee can be here to help us this year.
May we join our hearts in the morning prayer. Eternal God, thou who art toward us as a loving Father, we look to thee as the one in whose hand our lives are held. It is by thy holiness that our lives are judged. It is by thy mercies that our lives are redeemed. This is a holy hour, made holy not by anything that we have brought, but made holy by thy holy presence with us. We do not come in this prayer in order to storm thy gates with our words. Rather, we come to wait for the speaking of thy word to us. We bring before thee the concerns of our hearts and minds. We speak to thee from a shattered world in which man is set against man, race against race, class against class, nation against nation. Move, we pray thee, with thy loving hand to heal the body of the broken humanity in which we live. We thank thee for the security and love of this fellowship created by thy love, a fellowship in which we love and are loved in spite of our unloveliness. Lead us to extend this fellowship to all men. As we pray this prayer in the name and in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, amen. For our scripture reading of the morning, we turn to the 18th chapter of the Gospel as recorded by Luke, reading verses 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or given adulterers, as even this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. As ministers, we face the danger that our service to others will become the occasion for the most deadly of sins. The life of service always verges on becoming the life of rebellion against God. Human life is filled with many examples of radical opposites that are divided only by a thin line. Human emotions often teeter back and forth between a consuming love or a jealous hatred. It is impossible at times to distinguish immediately between bold action motivated by courage and brash action motivated by insecurity. The Christian life is filled with the same kind of thin lines. In the church, movements that have begun with a fervor of religious devotion have ended in a fever of demonic bigotry. Time and time again, we have seen the church begin a task with noble intentions, only to complete it with a shameful display of its own sin. How often have we seen loyalty turn into exclusiveness, or enthusiasm merge into bigotism? Hope become arrogance, or humility transmuted into a fawning pride? As ministers, we face the danger that our service to others will become the occasion for the most deadly of sins. The life of service always verges on becoming the life of rebellion against God. The reality of this danger is displayed in the story as told by Christ of the Pharisee and his prayer, where he prayed a prayer of self-exaltation on the basis of his religious service. It is often supposed that service to others merges into Phariseeism because of the nature of service. The very act of heeding God's call to minister supposedly has in it the seed of pride implanted. We see ministers acting on this assumption who attempt to avoid Pharisaism by limiting their service. Their watchword is, don't be overly righteous. You know the kind who receives as the greatest compliment the statement, "Why, I would never have guessed that you were a minister." Indeed, a whole battery of techniques have been developed for hiding the minister. A touch of profanity here, the noncommittal wink there, astute silence elsewhere, and enthusiasm for righteousness nowhere. The hope in this approach seems to be that if the scope of service is limited sufficiently, there will not be adequate soil for the growth of this prideful religiosity called Pharisaism. This is a false hope. The seed of Pharisaical rebellion against God does not lie in the nature of service. Rather, it lies in the nature of man. The nature of sinful man who never tires of turning good into evil. Man is always striving to hide his self-seeking designs beneath some respectable cloak. As ministers, what better cloak is there in which to hide our self-seeking than the cloak of service? We are constantly reminded of our role as ministers. People seem to need us. They call on us for help and then express their appreciation for what we have done. This provides the occasion for our turning service into open rebellion against God. The first step in turning our service into rebellion against God is a subtle one. We become engrossed in our ministries. Our time and energy is given almost exclusively to our work. We make personal sacrifices in order to serve others. Then we begin to take account of these sacrifices, making mental notes of what we gave up there and what we sacrificed there. Soon it appears that it is our sacrifice that makes our service possible. With our sacrifice and our strength as the source of all the good that we do, the need for outside assistance vanishes. Our lives are now self-contained and exclusive. Our pride has led us to open rebellion against God. We no longer need correction by nor sustenance from God. You have seen such self-contained ministries, hurtling through life like a stampeding herd, destroying itself and everything in its path. It all began when a man, as you and I, set out to serve God and his fellow man. Then his sin of pride turns this service into a shroud for his own self-seeking and self-exaltation. His prayer is, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men." It should be sobering to us to realize that in the parable of Jesus, this prayer was spoken by the religious leaders of his day. This prayer is not uncommon among ourselves. Can we avoid this Pharisaism. Yes. Yes, but not by limiting our service, not by limiting our ministry to a bare and pale minimum. Rather, we are saved from Pharisaism by comparing our sacrifice to the sacrifice of Calvary. In this context, we see that it is not our sacrifice that makes our service possible. Rather, our work is the fruit of God's mercies poured out on us and those we seek to serve. We will make sacrifices, to be sure, but they are always in response to God's prior sacrifice for us. Our ministry is now a grateful response to what God has done for us. God remains the author of our good works, the source of our strength, the initiator of our sacrificial service. He who humbleth himself before God in recognition of his own need is finally exalted. In this context, service to others is not the center of our ministry. Rather, God's ministry to us is the center and wellspring of our service. Let us pray. Our Father, save us from ourselves. Save us from our sinful selves, who would turn our ministry into open rebellion against Thee. Make us willing to have our feet washed by the Master, so that we will be able to go and serve others. As we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus.